something or other.
You got your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I titled the message this morning, Longing to Belong. If you recall, of course, it's been two or three weeks now, but this chapter began with Paul as an accountant. In verse 7, he says, I once thought the things that were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. He said, I have disregarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. So he started out being an accountant. Then he moved to be an athlete. In verse 13, he says, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. When we get to this passage of Scripture that was read this morning, Paul realizes he's in a foreign land. He's in a foreign land. And in fact, in verse 20, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. You know, you can stop and think of that for a while. Our citizenship is in heaven. Isn't that what this world's not our home. We just passing through, right? But you know, there's so many people today who are really not sure where they fit into the scheme of things. And you see it over and over again. People searching for meaning and direction in their lives. You go to bookstores and you see all kinds of these self-help books trying to get people to understand who they are. I mean, Jesus said they are all like sheep without a shepherd. They are just wandering, trying to find out where they belong. And here are some of the questions that people are asking. Why am I here? Where do I fit in? What is life all about? And I guess the one that just haunts me is, who cares about me? So how can we know where we belong in God's family? We're all part of His family. The interesting thing is, you can find all the answers in the one who created us. The Lord Jesus has the answers. And so this morning I want to look at four areas that are going to help us find out where we belong and how we get there. Number one, we'll see whose example we're to follow. I hope you're writing these down. Whose example we're to follow. Secondly, whose example we're not to follow. Thirdly, the nature of our citizenship. And then number four, how to know that we are ready for relocation. Our citizenship's in heaven. So let's look at number one. Whose example are we to follow? Well, in verse 17, Paul says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Now, that wasn't being egotistical by the Apostle Paul. He was saying, in another place, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I believe that that's something we need to keep in our minds. Paul uses the words my and us to describe himself and his partners in the ministry. Paul says we are to join together in following their example. And he also says, take note of those people who live according to the patterns that he's given. Join together, he says, in following his example, as opposed to following the crowd, doing everything everybody else does just to be part of the crowd. You know, there's wisdom in joining with other believers in determining what's the best course of action. In fact, Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. In a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Friends, we are family. And we want to make our decisions that way, as a family. And that's, like I said, after the service this morning. We're going to have a brief meeting about that. So I guess the question is, who should we follow? Well, obviously, the number one answer has got to be, Jesus, right? He's the one we should be following. However, he's also placed people around us who can help us, show us how to live godly lives. So it's good for us to identify with godly people who have good examples. Now, we don't have any Apostle Pauls around here today, although there are some people who claim that title. We don't have the Apostle Pauls around us. But as I look around, even in our little congregation here, there are good examples of people who live godly lives. And we ought to see them and try to follow them. Model how they live. Learn from their example. You know, most people learn by watching others. How you do a job, how you cook, how you repair an engine, how you grow a garden. In fact, you can go on the internet and find out anything. Anything. We went to Sam's yesterday. Let me give you an illustration. We went to Sam's yesterday, and we got one of these industrial, what is it called, film covers, and you get a saran wrap in a great big box, all right? So we get it home, and we're looking at it, and we're thinking, how do you open this thing? What do you do with it? And it says, tear this, punch here, do that. So we did that, and we still were having a problem with it. I said, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. I got an idea. Google, how do you do this? And sure enough, there was a video on how to assemble this thing. Amazing. So, you know, we can go anywhere, do anything. See, you watch people. That's how you get to be better at what you're doing most of the time. Sometimes even when I watch some of those things, it just baffles me. I have a really problem with it. But here's one thing you need to do. As we watch other Christians in their walk in life, you got to remember one thing. Jesus was perfect. We're not. You know? We are not. So don't ever think or become disillusioned when you see somebody who you think is a godly person do something that you don't think is godly. Friends, we're all like that. Every one of us has something wrong with them. But you know what the great news is? The Lord Jesus took care of every bit of it. He wiped it all clean. That's so amazing. We need to understand we all have faults, but we can still help one another. We can still encourage one another. We can do all of those things. To be able to live together in love and in unity, that's a blessing thing. But let me give you a word here. Be real. Be real. All right? We are examples because when we say we're Christians, people zero in on us. And they watch us like hawks. They watch us like hawks. And we have to be very, very careful. We can't let other people determine how we approach life. We have an example. We have someone who knows how to do it. But being an example does not mean hiding your faults, hiding your mistakes, looking good in front of people. That's not what it is. Be real. Be you. Let the grace of God work freely in your life. So when people see the real you, maybe they'll see and recognize Jesus in you. So we must know whose example to follow. Secondly, we must know whose example not to follow. Look at verse 18 in Philippians 3. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, don't follow people who reject Christ or who are ambivalent to Christ. Those are not the people we should be following. Paul wanted more than anything else for his Jewish brothers and sisters to come to know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their sins. And he was willing to pour out his life for their sakes. In fact, in Romans 10, verse 1, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That was his ache. It was his heart. In fact, a little bit later on, he said, I could wish myself accursed for my brethren according to the flesh. In other words, he had such a burden for the nation of Israel. And he'd be willing to do anything for Israel to accept the Lord Jesus as their Messiah and Lord. And he spells out the faith fate of those who reject Jesus. He says their end is destruction. Now, we hear a lot these days about the fact that Christianity is so evil because it tells about hell. You know, we can, you know, politically correct, can't use that word anymore, can we? Hell, place of torment, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and it is a forever place. We don't hear a lot of that these days. You can listen almost to every preacher on television and not hear that. Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. So he thinks it's a real place. He gave us a story about Lazarus and the rich man. Some say that's a parable. No, if you study the parables, no real names are used in any parables. But Jesus said there was Lazarus, and there was a rich man, and there was Abraham. He was using real people because it was a real situation. Hell is real. Hell is real. And those who refuse to trust the Lord as their Savior, their future's not bright, I can tell you that. I'm being as nice as I can be about it. Their eternity will be an eternity of separation from God. Darkness, punishment, torment. In fact, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, it says, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's not a pretty picture, folks. It really isn't. And it should cause us to really be more concerned than ever about those around us who don't know the Lord. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you wept over somebody who didn't know the Lord? When was the last time you prayed for family members who didn't know the Lord? You've been praying for their salvation? How about your friends? How about your neighbors? As I said, hell's a real place, and it seems that there are a lot of people that are headed there. Jesus said in Matthew 7, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. This world is headed for hell at a fast, fast pace. Will we be the ones that let them know the truth? To let them know that there's a better way? They don't have to face eternity without God. So many people are trying to find a place to belong. They're looking for a place where they can fit in and be appreciated by other people. Folks, ECBC should be that place. We ought to be welcoming, and I think we are. I think we've done that. Our identity as people of God is of great worth, and it makes a huge difference. We were at a David Phelps concert Friday night. If you ever get a chance to go see David Phelps in concert, don't miss it. It's dynamic. It really is. And during halftime, during the intermission, the artist and everybody goes backstage, and so we shaking hands and talking to people. And Rochelle was being Rochelle. You know, she was just going around talking to everybody. And she was inviting people to come to church. Where are you? Oh, my husband's a pastor in Emmitsburg Community Baptist Church. You ought to come visit. No, so she was going around doing her thing. I mean, she does that everywhere. So it wasn't anything unusual as I looked around and watching. So as it's getting ready to where the instruments and the musicians are coming back, and Rochelle and I were standing there, and this lady walked over, and she said, excuse me, pastor? So I knew that she'd already been introduced by Rochelle. She said, Pastor Joe, there's a lady over here that has a little drug baby. And it's only 8 pounds, and it has heart problems. But it needs to be 10 pounds before they can operate. Would you come pray with us? So we went over. Here's 600 people standing around. And we went over, and there was five or six of us, and we joined hands. And we prayed for that little baby, precious little baby. My point is this. We are out there. People see us and they want to know, are you real? Are you real in the situations in life? Real is one thing here in church. Real in the real world is what it's all about. Because if you remember, Jesus did what he did in the world, not in the synagogue. We come here to worship. That's what we do here. We worship here. But when we walk out of these doors, we need to minister. We need to be a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare to meet the Lord. Hell's a real place, folks. Let's show others how to belong to a place that's called heaven. So we've got to know whose example to follow. And we've got to know whose example not to follow. And then thirdly, we've got to know the nature of our citizenship. Because verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when Paul wrote that, our citizenship is in heaven, the church at Philippi knew exactly what he was talking about. Because the church at Philippi was a Roman colony, and it had been awarded the highest legal privilege possible from Rome. The citizens of Philippi were given all the rights, all the privileges of citizens who were born in Rome. I mean, that's pretty prestigious. And so Paul's telling these believers that in Philippi that their real city, their real citizenship, the real place where they belong is heaven. Heaven. They were God's people who were placed in Philippi to spread the ways of the kingdom of heaven. That's what God did for them. They were to show the love and the unity that's found in the Lord. They were to show people all around them what Jesus is like. Because, folks, this world, the only thing they know about Jesus is what they're going to see in us. Because we claim to be his followers. They were a colony from heaven that were placed in Philippi to make a difference in people's lives. So we can't ever forget where we belong, where our true home is. Next time you get a passport or a visa or whatever, when they ask you place of origin, write down heaven. I'm just having a visa here for this world. We're a colony from heaven, strategically placed. Paul said in Hebrew, or the writer of the book of Hebrews said, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for a city that's to come. We're looking for heaven, folks. We've been placed here in Emmitsburg to make a difference in people's lives. We have that relationship with Christ. We have full citizenship in the heavenly city. And we've been given the responsibility of helping other people see and acknowledge the lordship of Jesus. We need to show them. They have a place to belong in the family if they're willing to come. We need to invite them. You know how you get to be a member of the family of God, right? Nod your head. You do. Yeah. Repentance and relationship. Repent of your sins and start a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said in Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we must know where we belong. We belong in heaven with Jesus. That's where we belong. That's our home. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm just visiting earth. That's all I am right now. And as citizens of heaven, we shouldn't look around at the environment around us to provide the meaning in life for us. Or even control the quality of our behavior. Because some of the things that our society tells us now are biblically wrong. Biblically wrong, and yet they are settled laws in this land. And that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. We're made for fellowship with God, and we're made to be a Christian community here in Emmitsburg to make Jesus known around us. So we've got to know whose example to follow. We've got to know whose example not to follow. We know the nature of our citizenship. What is our citizenship? Where are we? Heaven. Come on, folks. Heaven. And number four, we must know that we are ready for relocation. Verses 20 and 21, Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it will be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. In other words, we aren't what we're going to be. Isn't that great to know? There's a song that says, there's coming a day when no heartache will come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore in that happy golden shore. What a day! Glorious day that's going to be. See, this world really isn't our home. We're going to be leaving here one of these days, right? Headed for home, made for heaven. Jesus is coming to set everything right one of these days. You know, I've said this before. We're going to leave here one of two ways, either by the undertaker or the uppertaker. One of those two ways, we're gone. And I'm looking for that day. But there's only one way to get there. And that's what irritates this world more than anything else, I believe, personally. Irritates this world more than anything else when we say Jesus is the only way. Because no other religion believes that. Jesus is the only way. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, salvation is found in no other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the Lord Jesus Christ. All the injustices that have ever been committed, all of the abuses against the poor and the innocent, all the wrongs of this world are going to be made right when He splits the clouds of glory. And He comes for His own. The innocent will be vindicated. The wicked will be punished. You know, it seems today like the rich and the powerful are having their way in the world, right? You see it all over the place. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. The strong run over the weak and get away with it. And people say, where is the justice? Where is it? Well, I can tell you this. Justice is coming. Justice is coming because the judge is coming. You remember that old, here come the judge. Well, here comes the judge. He's on his way. He'll be a savior to those who have accepted him and a judge to those who reject him. And the great thing is when he comes, he's taken us with him. Paul said, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive, and Paul thought he was going to be one of them, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Woo! Boy, that's just good enough. But not only that, we have a promise that he's going to change us, and we're going to be like him. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet know what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we'll be like him, for we will see him as he is. You know, when we're here, we all deal with aches and bumps and bruises. We suffer. We have sorrow and pain and death. But when the Lord Jesus returns, we're going to be free from every bit of that. It's all going to be gone because he's going to give us resurrection bodies. Individual resurrection bodies. Me, 6 feet, 4 inches tall, long flowing black hair, 195 strong muscular pounds, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a, whoa, no, wait a minute, that's Superman. We're looking for our resurrection bodies. All I know is it's going to be sensational because we know where we belong and what we've been created for. Listen to Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Wow. The work of being conformed to his image will have been done, and we'll be like him. Whew. That's when we'll be totally ready for relocation. Oh, wait a minute. Relocation. That's heaven. Wait a minute. Heaven, that's home, folks. We're going home. Someday I'm going to fall asleep in Jesus, but there'll be no sting in death for me. I'll just simply close my eyes in slumber, and then my master's face I'll see. All my pain and sorrow ended. A glorious life eternally. And you know what? It's all because of Jesus and his death on Calvary. So let me sum this up for us. We can learn to live as citizens of heaven by following godly examples. Recognize who we're not to follow. Recognize the nature of our citizenship. Remember, we only have a temporary visa here. We must always be ready to relocate to another country. The one God prepared for us before the foundation on the world. He had it all prepared and ready for us. You know, if you're only a citizen of this world, the Lord continually says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He invites you to become a citizen of heaven. You can know him, the forgiveness of sins. It's a wonderful existence, I can tell you that. And those of you here can say amen to that. Because for us who know where our citizenship is, we need to focus on, I think, three things. Number one, make sure we're living like citizens of heaven. That we have a growing relationship with the Lord. Secondly, we always remember not to follow those who either neglect or reject the Lord. And number three, we need to share our faith with everybody. Nobody should be excluded. It's our privilege and it's our responsibility to show and to tell others how they can know and how they can become a citizen of heaven. So I think that's something we can commit to. Remember, we talked about it last week, those cards that you can put up someplace, let other people know that there's a salvation station here, that there's a worship place here, that we as Emmitsburg Community Baptist Church love people, and we want them to know the love of the Lord Jesus. Ask God to bring somebody across your path that you can invite. Jesus said, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. We need to be that light, folks. I don't want to see anybody walking in darkness. Our prayer ought to be, Lord, help us to let you shine through our life. Let's pray. Father, you love us so much that you stepped out of heaven and paid that ultimate price for our salvation. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for that because our sins are forgiven. Our names are written in glory. And one day we'll see you face to face. But Lord, you've left us here to let others know about that, to let them know of the saving power and grace that you have. So Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to share our faith with others, to invite them to come to this station and worship in this place. Lord, as you speak to our hearts this morning, I pray that we would be faithful to do what you've called us to do. These things I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, Lord, I'm Coming Home. Let's sing. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with tears. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Oh, thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Amen. Y'all can be seated. As I said in the announcements this morning, we're going to have just a very brief family meeting here. The elders got together, and we were last week after the service, and we talked about, and we've prayed about this for a while now, the idea that as individuals we're supposed to give to the Lord, and the Lord has made it very clear in His Word we are to give. But as a church we need to give also. We're not exempt, and the way that we give is through the missions. And as we talked about it, we want to present to you this morning three missions projects or missionaries. Number one, Justin Hannigan. For those of you, I think most of you know Justin and his ministry. Gary, we as a church committed to support him. And also the Blue Ridge Baptist Association, which has been instrumental in doing the things that we need to see done, and the missions outreach. We just, Rochelle and I went to the annual meeting of Blue Ridge Baptist, and it was very powerful because of the different things that the Blue Ridge Baptist Association does and ministering to the Dominican Republic and to the disasters relief. And they have trailers that they actually go to these different places and do what they can. So we feel that that's a worthwhile ministry. And so our monthly giving is roughly around $5,000. That's a rough estimate. And I believe we need to be faithful and tithe on that $5,000. So that's $500. Now, that's a step of faith, folks, but it's a step of faith in the right direction, faith. And so we are going to commit $500 a month to these mission projects. And as we continue to grow, we can add more ministries, more missionaries. And this is till, what did we say, the end of the year, and then we were going to review once a quarter as to what we need to do, if we need to increase or whatever we need to do, if we need to add other missionaries. So it's a wonderful avenue for us to reach out. That's global, folks. That's reaching globally. And so we present that to you. You have any questions? Anything you'd like to ask? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, the way we talked about it was, it is a percentage of our offering. And then at the end of the quarters, say we're giving $6,000. That's another $100. Now, we can split that with the missionaries, or we can add another missionary. We'll do it on a quarterly basis so that we're doing a set amount now as the 10%. However, we will adjust that as we go. That way, we're not each week saying, okay, now we got $2,173, so that's $217, and how are we going to split that up? It's much more cost effective, and I hate to use those words, but it is much more cost effective, and keeps Bill from going completely crazy every month. That's the best that we feel that it will be equitable, and that we will have the ability on a quarterly basis to adjust to see where we are and see what we need to do. So. To the two missionaries, right? Yeah. So it's, as I said, it's a step, it's a beginning, and it's something I really believe that's scriptural, and that we should be doing as a church. So, any other questions? All those in favor? Opposed? That's unanimous. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Oh, and by the way, ladies, thank you so much for that blueberry muffin. It will be consumed with the gusto of a hound dog. Just let you all know that. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the time we've had together. Thank you for every person here. And I just pray that you, through the Holy Spirit, would minister to us in a very special way, and that we would have the opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with those around us. Keep us safe as we travel. Bring us back with an excitement, a joy, knowing that we are serving a risen Savior, and He is in the world through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Before you go.
Oh. Oh. Yes. We have, take one and pass them around. All right? Grab a pen off
and
the back here.
Take those. I've got a whole bunch of them here.
Oh, yeah.